How do you know if you really love somebody? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You know every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've got to do that quite personally. You can't let somebody else. You know, if you were baptized in the Catholic Church, when you were baptized as an infant, your parents and godparents and anybody else that attended the ceremony, they pronounced the baptismal vows for you because you were an infant. Then in the Catholic Church, when you get confirmed, you pronounce them. You pronounce your vows. You're going to make that decision, quite personally. Do you know what happens when a person accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, as her personal Lord and Savior? They're free, right? The power of hell, the power of the evil one, the power of darkness. They are protected. It's like a shield. You know, Friday, Good Friday. Every Friday can be a good Friday. Every Friday can be God's Friday. Let it happen in your life. Because every Friday this year, I am sharing with you stories that change hearts, stories of miracles, stories of grace. And I have a very special story, a very, very nice one to share with you today. Let me share it with you now. John Blanchard stood up from the bench, straightened his army uniform, and studied the crowd of people making their way through Grand Central Station. He looked for the girl whose heart he knew, but whose face he didn't. The girl with the rose. His interest in her had begun 13 months before in a Florida library. Taking a book off the shelf, he found himself intrigued, not with the words of the book, but with the notes penciled in the margin. The soft handwriting reflected a thoughtful soul and insightful mind. In front of the book, he discovered the previous owner's name, Miss Hollis Manell. With time and effort, he located her address. She lived in New York City. He wrote her a letter introducing himself and inviting her to correspond. The next day, he was shipped overseas for service in World War II. During the next year and 1 month, the two grew to know each other through the mail. Each letter was a seed falling on a fertile heart. A romance was budding. Blanchard requested a photograph, but she refused. She felt that if he really cared, it wouldn't matter what she looked like. When the day finally came for him to return from Europe, they scheduled their first meeting, 7 p.m. at the Grand Central Station in New York City. "You'll recognize me," she wrote, "by the red rose I'll be wearing on my lapel." So, at 7 o'clock, he was in the station, looking for a girl whose heart he loved, but whose face he never seen. Here were his words. "A young woman was coming toward me, her figure long and slim. Her blonde hair lay back in curls from her delicate ears. Her eyes were as blue as flowers. Her lips and chin had a gentle firmness. And in her pale green suit, she was like springtime come alive. I started toward her, entirely forgetting to notice that she was not wearing a rose. As I moved, a small provocative smile turned her lips. 'Going my way, sailor,' she murmured. Almost uncontrollably, I made one step closer to her, and then I saw Hollis Manell. She was standing almost directly behind the girl. A woman well past 40. She had graying hair tucked under a worn hat. She was more than plump. Her thick ankled feet thrust into low-heeled shoes. The girl in the green suit was quickly walking away. I felt as though I was split in two. So keen was my desire to follow her, and yet so deep was my longing for the woman whose spirit had truly companioned and upheld mine. And there she stood. Her pale, plump face was gentle and sensible. Her gray eyes had a warm and kindly twinkle. I did not hesitate. My fingers gripped the small, warm blue leather copy of the book that was to identify me to her. This would not be love, but it would be something precious, something perhaps even better than love, a friendship for which I had been and must ever be grateful. I squared my shoulders and saluted and held out the book to the woman, even though while I spoke, I felt choked by the bitterness of my disappointment. I'm Lieutenant John Blanchard, and you must be Miss Maynell. I am so glad you could meet me. May I take you to dinner? The woman's face broadened into a tolerant smile. She said, I don't know what this is about, son, but the young lady in the green suit who just went by, she begged me to wear this rose on my coat. And she said, if you were to ask me out to dinner, I should go and tell you that she is waiting for you in the big restaurant across the street. She said it was some kind of test. Wow. What a story, huh? Did she have a right to test him? I think she was a woman with great wisdom. She knew that beauty was only skin deep. I mean, she turns out to be, apparently, a very beautiful woman. But she wouldn't send him a picture, would she? She didn't want their relationship to be built just on beauty or if he was real, real handsome. Because, and you know this is true, almost all my listeners know this is true. Beauty is skin deep, and beauty does fade. It does fade. As we get older, gravity takes a toll on us. And so she set up this little test. And you might say, well, it's not fair that she tested him. Why not? I mean, doesn't God test us? Why does God test us? He tests us to see if our faith is real. He tests us to see if our values are in order. He tests us to see if we have the right priorities in life. You know, faith is like a muscle. If you don't use it, it'll atrophy. Yeah, we're going to be tested. And in some ways, even our families test us. They test us to love them on days when they're not all that lovable. We get tested to forgive and forgive 70 times 7. We get tested to stretch ourselves and do things for our families we wouldn't do for all the gold in Fort Knox. So I don't think it was all that bad on her part to test this fellow. To see how he would treat a woman quite elderly, not all that beautiful. And you know, and he passed the test. He knew he wasn't going to marry the elderly woman. No. But he said it could be a friendship. It could be a friendship that was built on all those letters that they exchanged during the year he was overseas in World War II. So he didn't ignore that lady and chase after the girl who didn't have the rose on her lapel. He was disappointed, but he pursued the agreement that they had. She would show up with a rose, and he would show up with that book. Well, it ended in such a way that I bet he raced across the street to the restaurant where she was waiting for him. I don't know if they got married or not, but I'm sure he was delighted to find out that the real Hollis Maynell was somebody closer to his age, somebody who was attractive, somebody who not only was attractive, but remember what first attracted him in reading the book. She was insightful, he said. She wrote in ways that gave great insight to a tender heart, to an understanding heart, to a compassionate heart, to a woman of great virtue. And isn't that what we want to have for our children? Don't we want our kids to marry for reasons other than just beauty or money? Both those things are very fleeting. You know, when I talk about people getting married, I say all the time, when I'm giving them classes to prepare them for marriage, you know, why do we marry somebody? Well, from the Catholic Christian standpoint, we marry somebody because, one, they were put up with us on our bad days. 2, they will bring the best out of us. And 3, they're our best chance to get to heaven. It has nothing to do about beauty. Has nothing to do about money. These are the things. Put up with us because we all have, we all have a dark side. Secondly, to bring the best out of us. A husband or wife should bring the best out of each other. And, you know, they can't assume responsibility for us getting to heaven, but they have to be a source of support in our getting to heaven, not make it more difficult for us to get to heaven. Fridays are great because not only do we think about Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead to save us from our sins, open the gates of heaven, to give us hope in a world that sometimes seems so hopeless. But Fridays are great because I get to share with you stories of miracles, little miracles of grace and love. And TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Okay, well, here's today's food for thought. And it comes from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. A woman, well, what can I say, a true saint. She said, charity to be fruitful must cost us. That's true, you know. Charity should always cost us. We have to go outside our comfort zone. If you only help people in your comfort zone, it's not costing you anything. All right, and who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray with people who are chronic worriers. I talk about them on the Monday show, but this is our especially. Somebody who's going to go into the weekend not able to relax because they're a chronic worrier. You know them. You might be one of them. Let's pray. Dear God, some people get caught up in chronic worrying. It just consumes them. All their energy, all their time, takes away their joy and their peace. Dear God, knock on the door of their hearts. Tell them that you want to come and dwell in them. And tell them you can't do that if their hearts fill with worry. And then give them the grace to take the risks, to quit worrying, and to trust in you. Amen. Now, my small attempt to make you smile or laugh. P.J. O'Rourke said this. Children from age 5 to 10 should watch more television. Television depicts adults as rotten, hard-hearted, given to fistfights, gunplay, and other mayhem. Kids who believe this about grown-ups aren't likely to argue about bedtime. That is so clever. Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Send me your prayer intentions. I will storm heaven. Or just drop me a note and let me know you listened to the program. That'll be bring joy to my day. If you can help me with my hospital for the poor, write a check, TASH, Inc., TASH, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.